I'm in Bangkok on a 3G connection, so let's see how that goes.
All right, and with that, we start this episode. this is the third episode of the year. There hasn't been any episode in the past month or so. That's mostly because I was traveling through the Amazon region. Oh yeah, guys, I'm based in Brazil, by the way. And so the show was in a bit of a stop. But we're getting back, even with Corona. Yes, it's in all of our minds. We're hearing about it all the time. So maybe let's try to catch a break from it, even if a short one. And I'm happy today to be here with Max, Johan, and Victor from the Diora Earth Project. Person who connected.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, hi guys, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We were connected through Tomas, which is also on the project. He reached out to Dowcast, and he mentioned that Diora is about to or considering launching a podcast. So he thought it would be a good idea to just have a test run here on Dowcast. So here we are. And I think it's a good opportunity, especially for me, to better understand Diora as a project. I've seen it, of course, in the space. I've taken a look at what they have online. I've seen that they've done some actual testing in Germany with the Volt Party. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. But I'm very curious to understand better their vision, product, and also how they are applying quadratic voting to it all. It's one of the buzzwords in the space at the moment. I've seen few people actually implementing it. They seem to be one of them. So I'm curious to hear how they've been doing it. So yeah, feel free to present yourself, guys. Let us know how you're feeling at the moment. Everybody in quarantine. And let's run.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in Berlin, it's everybody just has to do it at home office today. Stores are closing and all this stuff. So we have a lot of free time to work on those projects and to chat about it. And I mean, as you said it, we are in this self-finding phase at the moment as well. So we started with some projects and we are getting to know more and more in this DAO space. But I think if I just take it over, I mean, Diora is in the last weeks more and more concentrating on self-management and collaborations of peers and workers, meaning we really want to have some kind of movement going on to empower, let's say, workers around the globe or people in general to self-manage their organization and their tasks within. And we do this by exploring a lot of methods and a lot of ideas, like, for instance, quadratic voting or other things like a real, like, collaborative fund, like we did with called Rosebud Fund. And but more on that later, I guess. And so at the moment, we are looking in a lot of directions and we set up a purpose. Let me read out the purpose. because everyone has now an evolutionary purpose. So we do too. Our purpose is to lift up humanity and empower civil society to take the next evolutionary step of social and economic coordination. Right. And I mean, looking to a lot of coordination that is happening around the globe, I mean, coordination also from small scale, like we do now with Diora, we have a small team of people working on here, and also looking into like bigger organizations with a lot of people in there, towards to bigger communities where we have a lot of interests and colliding, and maybe also a lot of let's say movements and ideas, and towards like coordination, like big global coordination. And this is all at the moment we have the feeling organized in a really hierarchical way, meaning this top-down approach, when you know of a pyramid, you know, where you have decisions that are made from top-down and the top-down management style with a high knowledge gap and the centralized coordination, which is kind of slow, especially in this agile work. And we have the feeling that looking into other directions or looking
What happened to the Berlin internet?
time box is active.
Yeah, he was talking too long anyway.
Sorry, guys. I mean, you guys can always take over. I mean, that's just what I wanted to say. It's like having this feature of focus.
No, sorry, you were just interrupted there and your video stopped. Yeah, maybe let's take it over. Victor, you want to go first?
Yeah, I can just add, because of Danilo's intro, I was reminded with the whole Corona situation that our issues and the things we have to deal with as a community, as a global community, these are not solely technical issues, but also of, as Max mentioned, social and economic nature. Mm-hmm. And all these issues are somehow interconnected. And I guess the DAO space and all the people organizing DAOs and movements somehow towards a common goal represents that more people feel this need and feel this need to organize. And this is where we try to help. Mm-hmm. Johan?
Cool. So I've been in the blockchain space for a while. I did a Bitcoin startup back in 2015, I think. And I think I got disappointed at some point where I just thought all this blockchain stuff goes into a hyper-capitalist direction, and I don't really see how it helps humanity. And with Diora, I'm kind of motivated to turn that around and kind of show that we can use cryptography and we can use these protocols to actually help human coordination and kind of improve our society to kind of achieve wide-scale consensus. And yeah, that's what I'm all motivated about. And that's the aura for me.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So I guess you guys are familiar with the other projects in the space that are already testing their platforms. And one thing that I'm always curious about is, well, it's actually two things. First is understanding how projects differ from what's out there. That's one thing. And then the other one is how they integrate with what's out there. Because one of the feelings that I have with the DAO space is that there's not as much integration as there should have. That might be my own sole opinion, and it might not matter at all. It's something that I try to push in the conversations that I have around this topic. So it'd be really interesting to know more about what you guys are building. I read on your website that you are building a platform that is discussion based. I was very interested in that. Are we talking about a forum structure, something like that? And are you worried, concerned, or looking into integrations with already existing DAO technologies?
Maybe I can kind of draw a line to DAO Stack and what else is out there. Augur,
Colony.
Colony, exactly.
Yeah, Colony just released their alpha.
Yeah. So instead of trying to kind of create a platform, we taking steps at the market and kind of small hands-on projects. So we didn't go and kind of try to build a platform for an organization, but we tried to test things in a reduced scope. So for example, the quadratic voting that we've done for this European party Volt, it was a pop-up democracy, which means it happened kind of at it started at one of their events, and people got equipped with wallets there. And then the vote was going on for another 2 days. And then that's basically when we stopped this experiment, and we showed the results, and they were kind of auditable on the Ethereum mainnet. And but we haven't kind of created a continuous voting system for them. That would be maybe something in a further kind of step of a sales communication with them. But it was a prototype for now. And one thing that we are currently doing is we've created a fork of Moloch DAO that is called Rosebud. And we're trying to help the film industry to kind of coordinate around creating infrastructure that they currently don't have, but which would significantly kind of make their life easier and help independent film producers to kind of, you know, spread their movies further and, you know, receive the payments based on the exploitation easier. Wow. So this is another experiment that we're doing. And then we really kind of want to stay in the market research phase until we have solid data. And that's why we're creating a platform that we call Solar Punch. And maybe one of Max or Victor, you guys want to talk about Solar Punch?
Solar Punch, I like the name.
Thanks.
Yeah, Solar Punch comes from the solar punk movement. I don't know if you heard of it.
Yeah.
It's a movement about like positivity of the future. And Solar Punch is a community that is sharing, let's say, internal organizational processes that is happening inside the organization, inside from DAOs, inside from digital collaborations, from remote teams, and all those things. And we want to put them together inside as like, you could frame it as an app store, but it's not like a store. It's more like a marketplace. It's where people mingle, you know, and chat about their processes that they're using to self-manage themselves. And they share knowledge about their industry, how they use it in their industry. And, you know, all those methods, all those tools that are used from them. And we want to get them engaged, and we have the feeling that there is a lot of things out there that are just not tangible at the moment and not visualized, those processes. Although a lot of people, you know, like us or like other, any other organization out there is looking for some way to organize more efficiently. And we are trying to have Solar Punch as this kind of ground to share, explore, and learn a lot about self-management, a lot about DAOs and how to organize like this.
Nice.
Yeah, I can maybe add, because you ask how do movements differ, so how do we differ and how do we integrate, and I guess Johan and Max both answered it somehow.
Yeah,
because we differ in very practical applications, so connected with the real world, so we don't try to stay on our ground, but we go out there. So I guess this is where we differ. And how do we integrate? Yeah, with a project like Solar Punch, we do this, like building like a forum, like a platform, like a blog. We also checking out how we exactly structure it.
Mm-hmm.
But the community factor is very important to us. So this is where we see how we can help integrating all these different movements to one single force, more or less.
Nice.
I would maybe have two small points on that. So on integration, it's currently the case that there is actually no integration. Like the smart contracts that DAO Stack has built, or Augur has built, you know, you can add components to them, but you can't really integrate them with something that you have already. Colony is a little bit better because they have an advanced permission system where you could actually, you know, plug in your own contracts. And we're actually using Colony kind of in the team a lot to do bounties, to distribute reputation. But what we really want to find out with Solar Punch is like, where are the intersections? So which tools can be combined in which different ways. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, it's supposed to be for people to help them understand how to utilize what is out there for their internal needs. And then my second point would be that when you look, for example, at DAOStack, it kind of brings these management tools like voting that are meant for big communities, but mostly projects don't start as big communities. Mm-hmm. They start with like 3 or 4 people doing all the work, right? Mm-hmm. And then if they're successful, then they grow and oops, but they don't have the right framework in place. And then maybe it's too late to kind of have a decent, you know, decentralized infrastructure. And I think this is where we try to connect and understand how we can go from self-management, from a few guys that do things, and over time kind of build a community and have these tools along the way without having something that is way overblown for 4 guys, like a process that is way too complicated for 4 guys to start with. Like, how can an organization gradually grow from like a crew into like a movement, and maybe into a political party or something like that, and eventually into a crowd. This is what we try to find out.
Cool. Yeah. Just a quick question: how many are you at the moment at Diora?
Who wants to go? So I think we have 4 full-time guys, and then we have a couple. Yeah, and then we have a couple of guys on the chat that are helping. So, and the boundaries are not very clear because there is another team that's called LeapDAO,
right?
Which is this development team that builds kind of scalable sidechains, and we've been using each other's technology. So, for example, this voting prototype has been built on Plasma, so that the guys that were at the event, they could kind of send votes in like fractions of seconds and not notice. They didn't need any gas. They didn't notice that they actually, you know, running on a blockchain. It just looked like a web app for them. And still, all this stuff has been kind of committed to Ethereum and it's auditable. And LeapDAO is another team of 5 or 6 guys that are doing different things. And
So you just read my mind. I was about to ask you the connection between LeapDAO and Diora. So you've been collaborating together on technology, basically.
Maybe Max can describe this the best because he got me into Diora and I've been in LeapDAO before. So I'll give him the mic.
Yeah, that was know-how exchange, you could say. More one-sided because we got lucky with Johan.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, the thing is, that's why I always talk about collaborations. And I think the future is going to be about, let's say, it's today's world you call like freelancers. And freelancers working together towards a common goal with the same values. And we discovered with LeapDAO, and Johan put it quite good, as a like technology partner, we always said, but it's way more than that. It's a group of people where we figured out during the last months sharing exactly the same values about helping other collaborations, helping other initiatives to grow, to help the Ethereum space in general with scalable layer 2 solutions, for instance. And we find this synergy, let's say, is pretty like fruitful. And for instance, I have more like a, let's say, business background, and I do other things that LeapDAO is doing, for instance. And we see a lot of exchange happening here, and it's super interesting. And I guess we're gonna have more and more projects together, and
Cool. And I'm not sure if we have people listening to us who haven't listened and who haven't heard about LeapDAO yet, but if you guys could give a brief description of what it is, how would you do it?
I can jump on to that. So I think LeapDAO was created out of a few guys that were doing game development on Ethereum. And about 2 years ago, we tried to build a poker platform. And we just discovered at that time, you know, CryptoKitties happened, and we just discovered that the whole thing isn't ready yet. And it was a pain for us to kind of launch the game. And so we took a step back and we talked with the Ethereum Foundation, and they, at that time, Vitalik released his Plasma paper, and we kind of, you know, decided to help other game developers to be able to build games on Ethereum, and started implementing Plasma and got a grant for that, actually 2 grants from the Ethereum Foundation. And we've been working on that ever since. So the DAO in LeapDAO actually stands for Decentralized Adaptive Organization, not autonomous, because it's just a bunch of guys that kind of try to use the Holacracy framework, which is a framework for kind of self-management of like small to big organizations. It's not related to blockchain. It kind of comes from the old world. So for example, Zappos, the shoe company in the States, that's I think one of the bigger examples. Using Holacracy, I think, what's this blogging platform? Medium, they tried to use Holacracy for a while. And the idea is really that, you know, there's no, you know, hierarchy, but, and it's also not a flat org. Like a flat org is something where, you know, you basically have just a few structures, but you still have a bit of hierarchy. And Holacracy tries to be very structured, but have no hierarchy at all. And we do that by kind of working in circles that have different purposes. So there's a development circle, there is kind of an ecosystem circle. And in addition to that, LeapDAO has kind of built a couple of tools so an integration between the Gnosis multisig and the Colony contracts to be able to manage bounties and pay out reputation for bounties that have been delivered. You can find a write-down about that on our blog, and also in the Colony discourse forum. And yeah, this is a kind of a cooperative of software developers. The idea is to not, as a traditional company, organize around capital, but actually to organize around the workforce. So that's kind of the prime good that we have. Mm-hmm. And that we try to kind of allocate in the best way. And recently it has been shown that Plasma is kind of one way forward, but not the only way forward on layer 2 scalability. And we're looking into rollups as well. And I could go down that alley and talk a lot about scalability, but I'll save my breath.
Thank you. That was really cool just to know more of the details. I'll check this integration between the multi-sig and Colony. That's cool. Awesome. So one thing that I'm also very curious about is the experiment that you ran with the German party. You already mentioned it a little bit, but it would be very nice to know more of the details. Especially, I'm very curious about how people who were there, how they reacted to the app. Did you even mention there was any blockchain thing going on? Did they know it? Did they care about it? Or were they just interested in voting? Did they understand quadratic voting? So, you know, how this new concepts and technologies, how did they reach the ground with the people who might not be familiar with it?
I think the touch point with the reality concerning blockchain and quadratic voting was super valuable for us. And Vault was looking for a future vision of a participatory citizen platform, you could say, where people, you know, go on there and decide on some legislations or some rules or some money spending, you know, budget spending and all that stuff. So we did the test on their party congress day. Yeah, exactly. And as Jan put it, we did onboarding over their existing authentication process, meaning everybody got a QR code once they entered and got their ID from the party itself. And they were able to scan this QR code and were redirected to our web app, where they had already their voice credits on there and were good to go, let's say it that way, to vote. So there was no real experience with the blockchain in itself. We did a small pitch before and explained them about the benefits, but we never really emphasized blockchain. We emphasized the benefits of cryptographic voting, and we try to make this not only happen only on the day, but through a lot of touch points before, meaning we had a little video we made before, video about us, then a video about the app. So there were like two before. And then on the app itself, there was some kind of menu where you can click through and get to know about blockchain more and get to know about the benefits of cryptographic voting and why it's so interesting and why you guys or why everybody in this room is working towards like a new way of voting, let's say that we're in era. And the feedback was super overwhelming. We had young people who were super interested in it. We had old people who were super interested in it, and they were super capable of figuring the stuff out, and they understood what cryptographic voting was about. And blockchain, as I said before, that wasn't the focus of the day. But I think everybody got at least some glimpse of blockchain, and maybe that was also some like on-ramping on the blockchain world for them, we hope.
Maybe I can sprinkle some more details onto this. So just to give you an idea, the whole Congress was 500 people. And the participation was voluntary. So I think we had 160 or something. Actually, I think more than 300 opened the app. And I don't know, like something like 200 or something, they actually sent a vote. And the software we based off the Burner wallet, the one that was created for ETH Denver by, what's his name? Austin Griffith. Which is kind of this idea that, you know, it's a web app, and when it pops up and you don't have a private key yet, it generates it automatically. And then it kind of supports both. It can talk to a layer 2 blockchain. In this case, we use Plasma, and it can talk to a layer 1 blockchain, Ethereum in that case. And yeah, I don't know, maybe we should, for the listeners, also kind of dive into quadratic voting if they don't know it yet.
But yeah, I that would be that,
I don't know, Victor, maybe you want to give us a short intro, or
I can try, otherwise Max will jump in. The ideas, let's say as a member of this Vault Party, you get the access to the mobile wallet and to the mobile voting app. And within this app, you see different proposals which are subject to vote on. So in the classical way, you either vote a yes or no voice. So you have one voice and can decide on either decision. And let's stick to, let's say, I don't know how it was on the Congress, around 50 proposals maybe, and let's say you have 50 voice credits. So it means you can either choose on each proposal for a yes or for a no, but you, as a member of this party, you have maybe different domains you're interested in. Maybe education or health system is more important for you. So you want to keep your voice credits and spend it on proposals which affect your own domain. So that means you may not vote on proposals in the economic sector or in the macroeconomic sector because you care more about the health sector. So you keep your voices, and then you spend like 3 voices or 4 voices on one proposal, but subtracted there will be more voice credits. So let's say for 3 votes, there will be 9 voice credits subtracted. So you can give your opinion a boost and it will be shown in the results, but you can't vote on any other proposals. As long as your credits are there, you can, but if you spend more, they are gone. So you have to make a choice. Yeah, Max, is that okay? What do you think?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you spend your voice credits at a quadratic rate, you could say, per vote. And the benefit is that, for instance, if imagine you have a participation platform and one guy has, you know, he saved over millions of votes or voice credits and he wants to influence a certain vote and he spends it all, you know, mostly he would take over the entire election, but with the quadratic rate, you know, 1 million voice credits, I think, are only worth 1,000 votes at the quadratic rate. So you kind of balance out this number and, yeah, help, on the other hand, minorities to put more stake on their vote, on more power. But, you know, this blind majority can't overtake it easily. Yeah, that's the benefit of quadratic voting.
Yeah. Let's see if I get this quote from Glenn Wheel together. Quadratic voting balances the strong preferences of the minorities against the weak preferences of the majorities. I think that was it, right? So that means whether if democracy was that right?
Whether the weak preferences of the majority outweigh the strong preferences of the minority.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly. So,
but you got it right, I think, as well.
You gave your own touch to it.
And maybe to summarize it in another way, if democracy, if one person, one voice gives you a binary result, yes or no, on any vote that you do, then quadratic voting kind of gives you more dimensions to that result. So you see if there is vocal minorities that kind of have an attitude of only over my dead body, because that is not a consensual decision. And even in a democracy, you shouldn't make decisions that have kind of the strong opposition. That is called tyranny of the majority. And then you probably need to find another way to resolve the issue.
So the appeal for the minorities in quadratic voting is the fact that myself as a minority, if I care a lot about this specific issue, I can concentrate all of my, let's say, my fuel on that. Even if my fuel will not be directly represented in my votes, you're calling it the voice.
Yeah, the voice credits is kind of the currency that you receive, right. And then you invest the voice credits and they get converted during your vote into votes. So you can kind of say that you're buying votes with voice credits.
So as a minority, I can invest all of my voice credits into one issue I care about, and I can coordinate with the other minority members so we have a larger voice on that topic.
Exactly.
And, yeah, it makes sense to me.
So I think you already kind of took one step to one of the weaknesses of quadratic voting, mm-hmm. which is obviously voice credits, they are transferable. So what happens if I get a lot of my cousins to kind of, you know, give their vote as well? Then, you know, three guys casting six voice credits is a different result than one guy casting six voice credits. Or let's say three guys casting nine voice credits, because that's easier to calculate. Mm-hmm. Identity is a very important point, and quadratic voting is vulnerable to Sybil attacks, which means if you can create a lot of fake identities, you can kind of inflate the weight of the votes. And this, everyone is aware of that. Obviously, if we do voting in meet space, then we have ways around that. But as an online community in Ethereum, when you look back at, for example, the DAO problem and so on, we remember that it wasn't easy to kind of figure out who is the community and who is not the community. And there is no solution to it other than getting strong identities. But there is a nice kind of cousin of quadratic voting, which is called quadratic funding. And I'm sure you heard of it. It's something that, for example, Gitcoin uses to distribute matching by the Ethereum Foundation to the different projects that have grants on Gitcoin. Mm. And the way identity is sort of solved in that is that, first of all, people have to invest their own money. So you like a project, you put some dollars in, and then only the matching is kind of distributed over the invested money. And that way, the civil attack problem is kind of taken out of the equation, because people have, in the first place, to invest their own money. Still, the formulas are not perfect, because you can kind of coordinate your money investments. And it seems like Twitter shills are still very successful with like acquiring some of the quadratic funding distributions that have happened in Gitcoin. But I think I also got totally off topic. So
no, I think these are good considerations to make. I'm curious if you as Diara, if you guys are looking specifically into identity issues, or if that's something you're hoping other projects will figure out. Because I know there are a couple of other projects in the space working exactly on that.
Yeah.
Or if that's not a problem for this Diara setup.
I guess we already spotted identity as a strong factor in our considerations, so we need to take care of that at one point. Mm-hmm. But to be very honest, at the moment we try to evaluate the market as good as possible and try to find our niches which we can help in. And identity, there are a lot of strong projects outside. So first thing coming to mind is Uport. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there are other projects. But I guess at some point we have to check what they're doing and how we can somehow contribute, or what we can use of the technology already realized. Yeah. So, but there was a hackathon at Diffusion. I was not attending, but maybe Max or Johan can quickly jump on. So we did some testing on identity.
Yeah, I can talk about that. But then I'm talking again, maybe Max... you want to summarize?
I was at the hackathon only one day for the ideal part, you know, then I left. well, we got it. We called it ID.earth. That was just like a proof of concept of a lot of ideas and projects that are out there. And let me think about what was it. We used the buddy system, meaning two people that are already in the organization can authenticate a new member of the organization. And we developed an app for it via I think it was also a QR code scanning, right? Where you have to be physically present to scan the QR code of the other person and be sure that the person, because you look at the picture, you know, you're going to see like, there's this new member who wants to join, and I look at the picture, it's him. And then I go to him with another friend of mine, or with another community buddy, let's say. And you go to him and you're going to see, okay, this is him on the picture and this is him in front of me physically. And I'm going to, authenticate him and let him in the organization. And by doing this, you maybe get some reputation and all the stuff. And this is all going to be like registered. And to see, okay, who got accepted by who, which buddy or whom, which member, to really make sure that maybe if there's some sibles to find out who did them and let them in the first place, let's say that. That was just a proof of concept. You know?
Yeah, and the technology was called POOP, proof of unique personhood. The idea was... So, as described, you I think we wanted to address organizations that, you know, that need to create a community online. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, when you go online, for example, Facebook, you know, when you look at the rights that we have in the real life, like, you know, freedom of expression and freedom of gathering, and I think there's another that Milton Friedman kind of formulated. Remind me, guys, what are three freedoms? Anyway, so this last one, freedom of gathering, is currently not possible on the internet, because whenever you gather somewhere, there is a bunch of bots that kind of throw advertisement in your face, or they manipulate your opinion, and they are controlled by the Russians or something like that. And that is because online we don't have strong identity. So we're missing kind of this infrastructure to have free communication on the internet today. And what would this infrastructure provide us? Well, it would provide us a proof of unique personhood, so that when I talk to someone or I hear feedback about my idea, I can quantify if that is one real person or two people or three that have this opinion. But nowadays on Facebook, you know, with all the hate comments going on or something like that, I can't really quantify that, because I just kind of look at the echo chamber, which reflects things onto me that are either sponsored by someone else or they are just my own opinions. So yeah, that was the idea about this ID.Earth hackathon project. But it remained that. It just remained a hackathon project.
I see. That's cool. That's cool. I hope it comes into integration with the Aura, or some other project come to the easy.
Actually, this buddy system that the proof of unique personhood is based on, or that it utilizes, it comes from the Vault Party. So this is a process that they are already executing, but they do it in kind of a Web 2.0 way. Or in the meet space, actually. So they have these meetups that happen regularly. And if you're interested in what the party is doing, you come to one of these meetups. And then there is two guys that kind of verify you in a portal that they developed themselves. And then, you know, you get an account with them, and then you become a member of the party eventually. So they're doing that. They're just doing it without cryptography. So they use a client server system and a website.
I see. Well, that's one step further already. If you consider most other political parties, this guy seems to be way ahead of their time. Cool. So we are approaching the hour, and I do want to ask two things, actually. One is, how would you describe the Diora app as of now? Is it more of a voting app, or is it more of a forum discussion app? That would be cool to know. And also, it'd be very interesting to have a glimpse into what you're working at the moment. So if you're doing any specific market research with any one project or client, or what are the next steps in the project?
Maybe starting with our newest project, and then maybe Johan can talk about our vision project, you could say, or purpose project. So my internet connection is not so stable. So our newest project, and maybe Thomas also teased you this, we are working on a hackathon by this Blockchain for Social Impact Coalition. It's a digital hackathon. And it's about also like the sustainable development goals and some other initiatives that are sponsors. And we want to do also like a proof of concept of the tool sharing platform, because we want to empower communities or local communities inside in your area. And we want to give them like a platform at hand to share like goods or services in the future, maybe, but in particular like tools. So imagine you have some drill or whatever, and you want to share it with someone, and you have the possibility to do it over a certain period of time, or you want to do it on a long term. And with, for instance, the blockchain technology, we have the possibility to enforce rules and for instance, if you take a tool to it, a deposit, so if you break something, you could use the stake to repair it or whatsoever, and pay by tokens to get the tool beforehand. You could open like a secondary market even to see like who is bidding more for which tool. You could also make this for the longer run, because we also think about, imagine someone has a lot of tools in his backyard and he's sharing them all and gets a lot of money. You know, you have this also this monopoly standard that he's acquiring a lot of tokens, which he can buy new tools with and then sharing it again. And he becomes this like single point of influence and is like controlling the entire DAO, you could say. So we think about like, okay, why not have some kind of value going towards each tool. So every time you pay your tool, like token goes into it. And once this tool value is reached, you pay more money inside a community fund, which then is capable of maybe funding new tools or maybe compensate certain disputes when a borrower and a lender has some issue. You know, he broke something and he's he's not really set aside with it, some kind of insurance, you could say. And so we are playing around with this like the possibilities of blockchain and with DAOs in general and features that are involved, and to build this maybe overpowered tool sharing platform. But yeah, let's see. And this is our newest hackathon project. And yeah, this is all placed to our big vision product, which I gladly go to you on.
So yeah, as I stated at the beginning, rather than kind of focusing on one product, we've been doing a bunch of experiments and hackathons. And we're still in that process, but we kind of have this vision on the horizon, and the vision on the horizon so let me tell you the name or our project name for that is Habitat. And the idea of Habitat is that, you know, every project kind of starts with a chat. So, you know, you invite a couple of people to WhatsApp and you organize a mini golf session or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then, you know, smaller teams, they use Slack, and then maybe they want to track, you know, their performance, and they do a 360-degree feedback. So then they get themselves a bot in Slack that, you know, asks them a bunch of questions. And there is all these tools that you can get into the team chats. So I'm not talking about a group chat on Telegram, but I'm talking about tools like Slack, where you really have channels and teams work together. So you can put a lot of bots in there to kind of improve a gazillion of things, right? So there is like task tracking, there is time tracking, there is performance tracking. But what is really essential about managing organizations? It's mostly money and power, right? Mm. And Slack doesn't have any tools for that you can kind of integrate into your chat. And I think managing these things, we only start to learn how to do that in the digital space using blockchain. So we have cryptocurrencies. For example, teams have multi-sigs where they store their DAI or their Ether. But I can't bring a plugin into Slack, or I can't develop a plugin for Slack that would allow me to do these things. Why is that? Because Slack is a Web 2.0 application. It has kind of a username password setup. And with that setup, I don't have a wallet and I can't do cryptographic signatures. So the idea of Habitat is kind of to upgrade this chat platform into a Web3 environment, so that everyone who participates in the chat signs all their messages with their private key. And also you can have plugins that are kind of Web3 apps. So imagine you take the Gnosis multisig interface and you cut it up into the different pieces, and then you can insert those into the history of your chat, and people can kind of click on it, and maybe you make a proposal about a transaction, someone else clicks on it, confirms the transaction, the transaction is executed. Or imagine you take Colony and you manage bounties right in your chat application. So Habitat is this idea of, you know, making integrating processes into your communication. And especially being able to manage things that nowadays we cannot manage effectively integrated into our communication. And that is, you know, like making decisions, like voting, deciding things, and managing funds. This is still happens in kind of the CEO, you know, room in the back office somewhere in traditional organizations today. And I think if we can bring this into online organizations, we can create kind of new types, way more agile companies that we've known than the ones that we know we've been known. So we know so far.
Cool. Is that, so Habitat, the way you're describing it, it reminds me of, or some ways it reminds me of Status. Is it a fair parallel or not at all?
I think that's a very fair parallel, because Status is a chat and Status has a plugin system. Status works in the way, Status is pretty much that, except, you know, there is, so far you have to specifically develop things as plugins for Status, and it's very limited in what it's doing. Also, Status uses, I think, Whisper so far, or they've currently started developing a new protocol that replaces Whisper. But the idea of Whisper is a little bit like Torrent, so that you send messages to all kind, encrypted to all kind of participants, and they forward them, and eventually it arrives at your place. We are more looking into a communication infrastructure like Scuttlebutt. I don't know if you ever heard of Scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
It's this kind of social network for people that, you know, live on a boat, because messages synchronize whenever you kind of meet another pub or you talk to another person that maybe has a friend. So the topology of the communication is... matches exactly the communication structure of the messages. So I think I can answer your question with yes, it's pretty much like Status. And also no, because, you know, we want to do things differently. And also no, because we actually don't know how we want to do things specifically. That's why we're doing the market research that we're busy with now.
Gotcha. It does make sense, though. It's a fair answer. Cool. Exciting stuff. Some of the things that you said made me think of, what's the name of the project? Oh my gosh, I interviewed them. That's bad. It's from Pippo.
Pepo, yes, OST.
Underscore protocol, Pepo Spina. It's a protocol for creating identity for subunits of text. So he's actually looking more into essays and whatnot that can be edited by many peers and collaboratively written. And then the idea is that each piece of collaboration on that essay or on that piece of document or on that piece of text has its own, it's a unit of itself, and that unit is stored on the Ethereum blockchain and whatnot. and people are credited for their contribution, and any change to that also becomes another unit of itself, and whatnot. And what you're describing made me think of that protocol in terms of the messages that you have in a chat, where each message would be a thing on itself, as opposed to having a compilation of messages and just work on the chat level. But yeah, that was the quick shallow thought that came to my mind as you were
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you happen, you don't remember the name of the project, right? It wasn't Pepl. Just underscore.
Underscore protocol.
Underscore protocol. Yeah. I haven't looked into that yet, but it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'll send you the interview with Pedro, with Pepl. It's here.
Discord. Oh, right. Yeah, now you figured out that I haven't listened to all of your episodes.
Cool, guys. I guess we're coming to an end. Really nice conversation. It's a good way to come back to DAOcast. And I would just open the room for any final remarks that you might have. And as usual, it would also be cool if you would let people know how they can reach out to you if they would want so. And yeah.
Cool. Who wants to start?
Yeah, I mean, we're redoing our website to make this more clear what we're doing. Yeah. Just I think from my side, it would be super interesting if somebody is listening and they're already organized in a self-managed or holocratic way. Would be super cool maybe to reach out to us, because we are super interested in your guys' processes and how you organize, and would love to learn more. Yeah, just reach out to us via our website, you could say, or join our Slack over Lito, which is more complicated. Just go to our website.
So I think an email would also totally work. It's either Max at diora.earth or Victor at diora.earth or Johan at diora.earth or something at diora.earth. Exactly, will always arrive. And yeah, any kind of process that makes a DAO better, we're interested in. Anything that works, or maybe it's just on your mind, or just an idea. Mm-hmm. We're interested to hear. And yeah, this was a super cool session, Danilo. Thanks for hosting this. You definitely get some reputation tokens if I could issue them.
Aura tokens.
Cool. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to listen to your podcast if it ever comes around. It'd be nice to
listen. We will send you an invite.
Yes.
Just to go for full circle with collaboration, we have to bring you on our cast. You really made it easy for us here as your guests, and it was very pleasant for me to see how chilled and easy such thing can go. So
I'm glad. Perfect. That. Yeah, that's the spirit of DAOcast. How do we call it? Free flow conversation. That's
perfect.
What we try to do all the time.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming, for jumping on board.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, awesome. And thank you for everyone who has listened to this. I do want to say something. DAOcast now has a Gitcoin grant. So if you're listening to this and you want to support the show, please come and check it out. It's just DAOcast. And yeah, you should expect more episodes with greater frequency. I know I've been absent for some time, but hopefully I'll be able to get back to it. So thank you guys once more, and I look forward to seeing what's coming out with Diora.earth and LeapDAO as well.
Cool. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.